Good afternoon. Today is Friday, May the 3rd, 127th day of the new year. Scheduled to join us this afternoon is Eureka City Manager Bill Panos. We'll find out how quick he drives, how safe he drives, and what he wants to talk about when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 315. We're back to talk shop this afternoon. We've got Bill Panos alongside. Working hard, are you?
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's nice to know somebody is. Bill, as you're looking at the budget, what are some of the challenges that you're dealing with?
Well, you know, the budget this year is... As with every year, it's always a challenge for us to really understand all of the things that the city needs to be doing next year, because we're trying to figure out all of those issues a year earlier. But this year it's been great because the council has just finished its budget a strategic planning retreat. And in that retreat, they have identified for us the priority working on and for us to budget to for this next year. And so we're going to be integrating that into our budget this year. And it's the first time that we've had such a well-developed strategic planning process that can be connected so well to the budget. And then the second thing that we've been working on the budget recently has been the departments identifying the kinds of things that they're going to need for next year in the city, new police cars or new motorcycles, new equipment that staff will need, those kinds of things that are what we call service alternatives. And then the third track this year has been, because there's a new city manager and because we've had a robust discussion with the staff and the department heads, we've identified some things that we can do to better position the city to meet the needs of the strategic plan, but also to meet the needs of the council as we go forward. And so we're thinking about some changes that will, I think, position our community and our city better to meet the needs of the citizens.
The fact that you guys had the retreat, is that something that is really a team bonding, or is it more of an informational sharing so that everybody is using the same vernacular and kind of understands each other?
It's a little bit of both, but more importantly, it's a way of organizing what everybody wants to do and to have the council, and when I say everybody, I mean the department heads and each council member, and for the council to weigh in and prioritize those activities so that we have a manageable list of things to do each year, and then every year that's updated. And it gives us, among other things, focus in our work and also the ability to budget towards it. And so it works out really well for us and is a repeatable process, and it's the first time we've ever done something so organized. before to identify what the council wants us to do. And so it's
efficiencies and effectiveness then.
I'm sorry?
Efficiencies and effectiveness.
Yeah.
KINS News and Information Times 319. We'll be back with more from Bill Panos.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. For years, the Eel River was the state's second largest source of steelhead and third largest of salmon. A UC Davis study estimates it once produced more than 1 million fish annually. This has been replaced by unpredictability. Last year saw a good salmon run, but some years it is very small. Several causes are cited, but all agree the Eel River ecosystem has been degraded. Now a task force of volunteers has come together to pinpoint the reasons and work to restore the watershed. The Eel River Task Force consists of public agencies, Indian tribes, conservation organizations, and others committed to establishing a scientific baseline of the causes of the decline and what might be done to reverse it. The members agree, no finger-pointing. A plan of solutions must fulfill legal responsibilities to protect endangered species while also respecting private property rights. It will be a big job, but a healthy Eel River is worthwhile for all Humboldt County. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the betterment of our community.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bill Panos. So, Bill, you guys are working hard on this thing called the budget?
Yeah, that's why I'm not there in person. We're in the middle of our budget meeting, and in fact, as soon as I'm done with the call, I'll be back in there. And we have a great group of our team leaders that have been meeting with me since January, since I started on putting together the budget for the City Council to consider. June 18th is when they have their adoption, and so we've been putting it together now.
Bill, you still with us?
Yes.
Oh, okay. We just had a little technical upgrading going on at our end here. as you're looking at this project called the budget, how do you know if you're doing it right?
Well, we're doing it right when we have listened to the council and listened to the community and have integrated those things into our future plans. We're doing it right when we talk to our staff and our department heads and ensure that we've listened to them and made sure we're doing it right. And we're doing it right when we are making sure that all of the accounting and financial rules that we as a city need to comply with, that we know of those and we're doing those. So right is from a lot of different perspectives, but we need to consider a lot of input as we go forward with our budget.
There's a lot of thought that going through the process is a healthy exercise, but when it comes to the state and some of their last-minute messages, intimations, reallocations, reassignments, that kind of stuff, that can blow up all of your process in about an afternoon. Do you build that in, or do you just presume that it's not going to happen and deal with it if it does?
We build that in, and we try and not have a lot of assumptions that rely on the state or federal government. And if we do, we are sure that those are solid. We don't generally have the problems the way you described, just because we don't make those assumptions in our budget. We're fairly conservative. And I must say, the former city manager, David Tyson, did a great job of getting our budgets in general in good order over the years. And so I'm coming at this from a place of, with good budgets. And it's easier to make good budgets when you start with good budgets.
Is it easy for a regular guy to be able to understand the City of Eureka's budget?
We're going to make that happen in our public meetings and in our communications with the council, and even with our staff, we're going to synthesize a pretty complicated document down to some very understandable points, very understandable messages, so that folks really understand it and get it and get why we're doing the things that we're doing.
Is that possible?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is not that complicated of a budget. It's an organization which, does a lot of things for a lot of people. But the budget process and the outcomes can be communicated in a fairly simplistic way where folks can, if they want, ask many questions and get down into the detail, and we can provide that. But also we can talk about it in a fairly straightforward way that people can understand.
One of the things I've found over the years is really challenging is for the general public or folks who don't follow it on a regular basis to understand or grasp what is variable, what is elective, what is required. Is that packed into or baked into the budget also?
Yeah, in fact, in our strategic planning exercise, we did just that. We talked about the things that we absolutely have to do, the things that we have chosen as a community to do and to have as a city, and then the things that are decisionable, the things that we may choose to do that we could choose to not do. And so we went through that in our strategic planning process, and so it comes out there. It also comes out in our budget process, where we look at those things which are of import, you know, that are important to the council and to the community, focus on those, put money into those, and the things that are not as important, we do less of.
Well, it sounds really easy. No surprises?
It's not easy, and generally, no, there's no surprises. We generally have a really good idea about what's happening. Again, the way that they have done their budgets in the past here in the city of Eureka has been a very, very good, very, very well thought out, and so we're in a position where things are fairly predictable, at least at this point.
Are the department heads understanding of these same goals and the ability to be able to communicate to the community?
Yeah, they do a great job of communicating, not just the department heads, but the staff themselves when they're meeting people on the street, of communicating what's going on. And if we need to do more of that or we need to do that better, we could, of course, do that. I think in this process of putting together the budget, I've been talking to a lot of folks, both inside the city and outside of the city. And certainly when we're talking to them inside of the city, it's they get it and they understand it and they ask questions about it. And they've just been great participants. In fact, our department heads were a big part of our strategic planning exercise. Half of it is with the department heads to identify what they need as departments, the police department, the fire department, et cetera. And then we take that over to the council, and then they sort of merge what the council is thinking with what the department heads thought, and have come up with a fairly straightforward list of things that we're going to do that will be included in the budget.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 3:30. We'll be back with more from Eureka City Manager Bill Panos.
May is Mattress Month, and where do more of your friends buy mattresses? Vern's Furniture. Take advantage of competitive pricing on the new Serta iComfort mattresses, the latest in sleep comfort with cool memory foam, or save up to 50% on closeout mattress models from Englander. Save on Serta Perfect Sleeper mattresses, and choose 18 months no interest financing on the mattress set of your choice at Vern's Furniture, 5th and G Streets, downtown Eureka. Now's the time to buy during Mattress Month at Vern's.
Brian, it's hard to hear you.
Okay, let me try it again then.
That's great. I can hear
How's
you
it
now.
Going with the recruitment process for the police chief?
Oh, it's going great. We are in the process, as you know, of advertising throughout the nation for a new police chief, and we've got a great response. The largest response we ever had, 20 to 30 candidates so far. We're not done. The recruitment will close around May 13th or so. And we expect the majority of folks that are interested in applying to come right at the very end there. So we'll have a robust response, and we're very happy with that. It's the largest response that we've had in any number of years here. And so we look forward to that. I'm understanding that many of the candidates are regional and local candidates, and so we're excited about that as well. We also have a lot of national candidates. So we're going to move through that process after the 13th of May and move forward. And so we're on track to be able to hire this person at the beginning of July.
So other than stellar leadership at the city, what do you attribute the additional interest in this position for?
I think it's a great community, and it's a really interesting job that has a lot of potential to affect the community in a positive way, and not just in law enforcement, but economic development, community relations, helping the community generally move forward and achieve those goals that the council's looking for is what this position's all about. And as we were communicating to people, both in writing and then in person, about the potential for this position, we were talking about that. And I think a lot of people got excited about that, and our response reflects that.
Now, you mentioned about relations, and I've noticed that you and President Richmond are kind of hanging out a lot together. What's going on there?
Rollin Richmond and Humboldt State University has always really been a good friend of the city of Eureka, and obviously an important asset for this entire region. But most recently, he and I have been talking a bit and talking with his staff about all of the additional things that we can do with the city of Eureka and Humboldt State University. As you know, 25 years ago, I worked for the chancellor of the California State University system, and that was my first exposure to the Humboldt region, the Humboldt Bay Area. And 25 years later, I'm back up here again, and so he and I have a lot to talk about, and we, in fact, we were together yesterday with he and his, a lot of his staff, and talking about not just the CSU system in general and the state legislature, but also the way that the city of Eureka and Humboldt State University can work together, talking about the Aquatic Center and how successful that's been, talking about other opportunities for us to do some things down on the waterfront.
Were you surprised that there's a CSU Channel Islands like I was earlier this week?
No, I was not. I was, at the time that I was with the chancellor's office, that was one of the schools that I was citing at the time. It was going to initially be called Cal State Ventura, but it turned into Cal State Channel Islands. It started as an extension of Cal State Northridge, and then later developed into its own university, which is typical of the schools. But it's a great school and a great location, and but we have what I consider to be at Humboldt State University, not only my favorite school, but one of the most important schools in California for a lot of different things, including natural resource education.
Is that because you're up here now and not out of Sacramento, where your favorite?
Maybe my location is affecting my judgment a little bit about it, but I thought that when I was living in Southern California and working for the CSU chancellor, I thought that when I came up here. It was my favorite campus, not just because of its aesthetics, but because of what it was teaching. And it's great to now work with President Richmond, and it's great to work with his staff at identifying things that we could do together.
What is the mascot for Channel Islands?
I have no idea.
Okay, I wonder if it was something like the sea slugs or the nudibranchs or something really exciting.
No, I have no idea.
But you were about to speculate, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:41. We'll be back with more from Bill Panos.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions, 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass, 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:44. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bill Panos from the, well, let's just say the Hightown Tower known as City Hall, up on top where the sunshine is. Right?
No, it's the good workplace of City Hall, the Eureka City Hall.
Uh-huh. And the view is really tough, and the work's really high.
The work is very enjoyable and important work for our community.
Yeah, okay, fine. You put your spin on it, I'll put mine. The McKay track. What's going on with that? I know there was a public meeting earlier this week. Anything come of that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was a great public meeting. The county and the other partners did an excellent job at organizing and bringing people out. The citizens responded really well. There were 200 to 300 people there, all engaged, and the meeting was run really well, and folks were able to speak their mind on a variety of topics, including access and transportation and harvesting and management and financing.
Harvesting?
Those kinds of
things.
You
mean there's product in there to harvest?
At some time in the future, after a number of things are in place, these kinds of community forests, as we understand them, and again, this is far out, this is way out, have the ability to generate some sustainable way, some income from timber.
Now, you said far out, harvest. I didn't hear legal in there, buddy.
That too.
Yeah, okay, so it's a legal harvest. Okay, good. What about the interaction, Bill, with the community trying to get in and out? Harris certainly isn't designed at that location to be able to handle any traffic going in there. We've seen the challenges that has been at Harris and Harrison, the intersection in front of Safeway. We had the unfortunate thing at Booner and S. There's not a real strong history of safe, easy, wide traffic interaction. Is that going to be a concern at this location?
Well, it's always a concern to make sure that the communities are as impacted as little as possible when these kinds of things are moving forward. And the planners and the folks that are involved in the project today have done a great job and will continue to do a great job at identifying what those issues are and helping to build and finance plans to be able to deal with those issues as they go forward. It's an important part of the project, is figuring out how people come in and out of that area. But at the end of the day, this is really about a sustainable community forest that we can protect and that we can reserve so that the community has a place to recreate and to enjoy for generations to come. And the idea of getting people in and out of there is an important part of that.
And the enjoyment part is a safe environment to do that in.
Absolutely. One of the issues that came up was patrolling, law enforcement, that kind of thing as we go forward. And it's something that the city is working very closely with the county on. That, fire protection, the access issue and transport, you know, traffic and transportation and people movement through the area, all of those things we'll be working with the county on. And we're pleased to be a partner with the county and the other organizations which are helping to make the McKay Track become a community forest.
There has been a lot of concern voiced by certain elements of the community about doing studies, wasting money on studies. We shouldn't bother with this study or that study. Does this need a study?
Well, it certainly is being studied, and I think that we need to know the full picture of where we're at. That, you know, context is everything. So the full picture of where we're at, so that we know, and then get that public input so that we know what the appropriate direction to go is, because we can go in a variety of directions. Planning helps us in making sure that we're moving in the right direction for the community.
What kind of timeline are you on?
For the McKay Track?
Yeah.
You know, I don't have the documentation in front of me right now, so I know that they are moving forward with public input and moving forward with the process of partnership and getting the public input into the planning process so that we can figure out where we need to focus on next. I think they're getting close to some agreements, some MOUs on not just the property itself, but also the maintenance and operations, those kinds
of agreements. So we should be hearing some stuff pretty soon then, huh? Good deal, good deal. Hey, Bill, thanks for almost coming by.
Hey, I phoned it in.
Way to go, baby.
Okay.
Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow morning.